Here we go. All right. We're in Chapter 15 of Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 103 if you got the book. And the chapter's title is A Running Account of Ellen White's Experience in Writing on the Life of Christ in 1876. And it's got some stuff from the compilers here. And I'm not going to read the compilers. I'm just going to read what she says. She goes, Mary Clough and I will do all we can to forward the work of my writings. I cannot see any light shining to Michigan for me. This year I feel that my work is writing. I must be secluded. Stay right here, and I must not let inclination or persuasion or of others shake my resolution to keep closely to my work until it is done. God will help me if I trust in him. Isn't that neat the way she says that, though? God will help me if I trust in him. A lot of people say, God will help me. What if you don't really trust him to help you? It's like walking into an empty bank with your hand open. And I hate to use that analogy, but in today's world, a lot of people understand about money, right? And so walking to your bank, empty bank with your hand open, how fast do you think it'll fill up? Well, if you get on your knees and you don't think God's there for you, it's like walking into an empty heaven with your heart open. Anyway, it says April 4th, because that one was May 25th, and now it says April 4th. She says, we have been having company about every day for some days back, but I try to stick to my writing and do as much each day as I dare. I cannot write but one half of a day each day. Mary is in the office, I upstairs writing. Seems odd that she would say it that way, but look at the dot, dot, dot. So they're compiling this, of course. And she says, I have had much freedom in prayer and sweet communion with God in my waking hours at night and early in the morning. I am gaining some strength, but find that any taxation affects me seriously so that it takes time to recover from it. My trust is in God. I have confidence that he will help me in my efforts to get out the truth and light he has given me to give to his people. Again, this is 1886. Oh, I'm sorry, 1876. So she died in 1915, so yeah, she still had 39 years left to live. So yeah, she trusted the Lord. And then April 7th, she says, the precious subjects open to my mind well. I trust in God and he helps me to write. Now this here, right here, is some, you know, because I've been asked the question, how do you, because like for years, I don't know if you've noticed, like if you go, let me go there now. Just go to remnantofgod.org, open it up with a different browser here, of course. Click the sermon page. And if you now, this was 2004, October 23rd, 2004, was the first sermon that we had in the chat room. And I had already been preaching, what, 30 years? No, 20 years? I don't know. Anyway. If you scroll down, you'll see it'll take, you know, once in a while you'll see a dash. That's where Rob Sessler used to preach, and I took all his sermons out because the man's a dangerous man. Okay? So, but it's just looking at it, like once in a while, he'd like every 6 weeks, something like that, he'd preach. And then you get down, and now, praise God, when you get way down, let's see, you get down to about week or month. Actually, it's like when you get to a number, 66, and you go to 67, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks. So that's almost every number is like 2 months. So we got to get down to, here we go, right when we get to 81. Now you see, you know, Brother Craig. And then Brother Race is in there. And then Brother David was in there a few times. And but then now we get towards the end, it's like Brother Craig will get in there a lot more often. Well, it's kind of like a 50-50 with me and Craig now. But people ask, how do you come up with these sermons? Oh, where's the sermons page? Well, if you go to remnantofgod.org, I hit it. I mean, it's in the audio section. If you just, like for the menu, just go to audio, scroll down, and it says recorded church services. Or the quickest way when you go to remedygod.org, the top left corner, it says Presence of God with that golden gift box. Click the box. Brings you right to it. And I do that because I scan to see what series I've done in the past, because I will not repeat sermons. It just won't happen because of what I'm being moved to share right now. If you trust God, if you walk with Him to the best of your ability, like I was saying a little while ago in regards to the heavenly places thing we were talking about, in other words, having the faith to be healed or praying for someone else or whatever prayers it is, if you stay as close to Him as you can, He's going to give you what He wants you to have to do this work for Him. And there have been times, because I know some of you are eventually going to be preaching, because we need you to, okay? All right? And it's just a no-brainer. It has to happen, all right? Especially if the Lord tarries and is coming much longer. I'll be pushing up daisies if that's, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, all right? But anyway, the Lord, if you stay with Him, He will bless you. There's so many, there's guys out there, literally, there's pastors, no less, that can't come up with a sermon to save their lives. They'll go online and they'll copy sermons from somebody else's website and then just, you know, gild the lily a little bit, make it their own, right? But if you're walking with, He's going to give you. The Lord will give you. It's, you know how like an author says, well, I got to wait to be inspired. Gee, I wonder where that came from. Because you literally have to wait on the Lord sometimes to be inspired. And yeah, there's times that this can be a little scary for those of you that are going to be moved to preach on a regular basis. And the only reason I say scary is because He catches you off guard with this stuff, and I think it is so neat on one hand and a little like, whoa, that's a scary way of doing it, Lord, but hey, I'm all for it. Let's do it, you know? And what I mean is, I'll have a sermon already. Because sometimes, like for example, I've already got two or three sermons already set up for when I'm going to preach next. But I've already got about 60 or 70 that I've never finished. But, or I've got like, man, I think I got two or three right now that are finished. But I've never put on into like the sand ballot one or the SDR versus SDA fruits or the Babylon fruits or whatever. I got a bunch of sermons that are already written. I just never preached them yet. Because this happens. He'll wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, Friday night. Okay, that's Sabbath morning. Sometimes this will happen. The sermon's already ready to go. The website says it's going to be this sermon the next day, and then boom, I'll have to change it. That's why sometimes it says to be announced. I'll have the sermon. I just know that, you know, what if this isn't what He wants me to preach? And then, like, the day before you're supposed to preach, He gives you a completely different sermon, and He'll give it to you in 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, and it'll just, bam, it goes to paper. It's amazing how He does that. Like she says, I trust the Lord, I trust in God, and He helps me to write. Trust Him. But if you're not walking with Him, well, then it's not going to be easy to write a sermon. As a matter of fact, it'll be impossible. You'll have to go get it someplace else. So she says, I am some 24 pages ahead of Mary. She does well with my copy. It will take a clear sense of duty to call me from this work to camp meetings. I mean, to finish my writings on one book, at any rate, before I go anywhere. The East will not see me for 1 year unless I feel that God calls me to go. He has given me my work. I will do it if I can be left free. And for those of us that do this work on a regular basis, we know exactly what she's talking about here. Sometimes, you know, hey, like I've been saying all along for the last year or so, I got to get away. I've never had a vacation in my life. And when I say vacation, just get away. Get out in the woods. Just walk along a lake. You know, or walk down a path in the woods somewhere. I mean, to me, that's heaven on earth. That's where I can relax. That's where I can just breathe in and breathe out. But I still got to work. You know, and I will bring my work with me. You know, I still will, you know, like bring the laptop or whatever. I mean, it'll be a skeleton type work. Do the bare essentials, and hopefully I'll have some help. And praise God that there's some of you that do help, especially with the articles. And that does help. And even if it's only just helping me with one or two articles, you'd be surprised how much of a load that takes off, you know, every now and then. Anyway, this next one is titled, dated April 8th, it says. It says, I have liberty in writing, and I plead with God daily for counsel, and that I may be imbued with His Spirit. I then believe that I shall have help and strength and grace to do the will of God. I never had such an opportunity to write in my life, and I mean to make the most of it. How will it do to read my manuscripts to elders Wagoner and Loughborough? If there is any wording of doctrinal points not so clear as it might be, he might discern it. He might discern it. They took out whatever. They messed it up here because they put their compilers thing in and they took out some words, and so the grammar's all messed up. So anyway, the next one again is titled April 8th. It says, my husband writes that an appeal is to be sent to me from the General Conference session, but I shall not be moved from that which I believe to be my duty at this time. I have a special work at this time to write out the things which the Lord has shown me. I have a work to do which has been a great burden to my soul. How great? No one but the Lord knows. Or she's, you know, how great is, you know, how much she's got to do. Is, okay, no one knows but the Lord. And again, she says, I want time to have my mind calm and composed. And that's another reason I want to get away too, by the way, to clear the head. Because because if I'm home, I will get behind the computer and I'll find something to do. I'll make a video, I'll whatever, you know, I'll answer 200 emails, you know. And that's another thing. When I'm out and about, I'm not going to be answering emails unless it's an absolute emergency. It just ain't happening. I'll let them pile up, you know. I don't care. I've had them pile up before. And so, but yeah, I'm just thinking, like, when I go out and about, it's going to be 2-3 days at the most each time, and as often as I possibly can. But the biggest thing I want to do is I want to go out and meet some of you. And I hope and pray that we can do this soon. And in the area, you know, like neighboring states or whatever. And then later on, maybe stretch that out a little further, too. Like maybe neighboring states of those neighboring states. Can't go too far east, of course, otherwise I'd get wet. But we got quite a ways to go west. But anywho, she goes on and says, I want to have time to meditate and pray while engaged in this work. I do not want to be wearied. I do not want to be wearied myself. What? Seems maybe it should say, I do not want to weary myself or be closely connected with our people who will divert my mind. This is a great work, and I feel like crying to God every day for His Spirit to help me do this work all right. And amen to that, because you really don't want to mess it up. And it's not about self either, you know, because He's the one that's behind it. You don't want to make Him look bad, you know. You don't want to soil the image of God. You got to do the best you can. This is why I always make it a point to not use opinionated statements on my website. And if I do use my opinion, I state it very clearly. This is my opinion. I can't back it up with SOP or Scripture. But that's an extreme overwhelming rarity. I think once or twice on the website, and maybe once or twice a year, I might do it on a pulpit if someone asks a question that I feel compelled to answer on a pulpit. But on the side, it's always going to have to be 100% from Scripture or Spirit of Prophecy, of course. And that way, He's glorified, you know. And it makes it that much easier to keep. In other words, if you set those rules and regs, at least this is the way it works for me, if I set these rules and regulations for myself in this way, then I don't have to backtrack. It's just like when I used to live the lie before I was a Christian. You always had to keep it in the back of your mind, what did I say yesterday or last week or 3 years ago? You know, whatever the case may be, you have to remember all those lies. And boy, I tell you, it clouds the brain pretty good when you, like, have you ever seen, because I used to hang with a guy that used to do this, and he couldn't answer very quickly, especially when the cops are getting in his face. And they'll go, so what's your name? And he goes, what? Yeah, I know what you're doing, Rich. And I'm talking about Rich Griffin, this guy I used to hang with years ago. He's dead now. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. But I used to chuckle every time. I says, man, can't you talk on your feet? Or think on your feet? Because the guy would ask him a question. He'd go, what? And the cop knows what he's doing. So you're trying to think of an answer, huh? And so when you walk with Christ and it's all about truth and you no lies whatsoever, not even the little white ones that everybody else seems to want to think is okay to do. You know, all the guile out there or the exaggeration or whatever the case may be. Not even that garbage. Because that way you don't have to worry about, is there a possibility I said this or I said that in the past? It's just like with some doctrinal issues that I'm still a little cloudy on, let's say, that like either from Chronicles or even from Revelation itself, you know, even prophetic doctrine. And if you're a little cloudy on, guess what? It's not on the website yet. It's just not there yet because I haven't, studied that all the way. But if it's on the website, then it means, okay, I've made it clear as far as I can clarify it in my mind. I feel comfortable with sharing it this way. If it's on my site, it's going to be on my pulpit that same way. All right? And yeah, there may be some things that I've changed over the years because I've gotten a little bit more light in certain areas. And maybe I haven't changed it yet on the site. What do you do? You know, find it, let me know, I'll fix it. But that too is going to be a rarity because if you stay in your studies the way you should, you shouldn't have to go and backtrack. And it makes it so much easier. I got to tell you, it makes it so much easier just to stay. If you're staying the truth, then, yeah, there's not going to be any issues in those areas to where you have to worry. You know. So, anyway, April 14th now. She says, it seems to me my writings are important, and I am so feeble, so unable to do the work with justice. I have pleaded with God to be imbued with His Holy Spirit, to be connected with heaven, that this work may be done right. I can never do this work without the special blessings of God. What does that sound like? How many have prayed that prayer? It's kind of like she's saying, okay, I've asked Him, and He hasn't answered me yet, but I'm just letting you know. He's going to answer. I trust Him. He's going to answer. It's kind of like what I like to call, now again, this is my opinion, kind of like, hey, didn't you just bring that up a minute ago? But yeah, anyway, it's like a pushy prayer. This is, okay, Father, I know you're going to answer this prayer and all this other stuff, and I'll bring this up on the pulpit kind of in a way to where, you know, kind of like pushing the envelope a little closer to you to say, okay, maybe you don't want to answer this until next week, but can you handle it Wednesday kind of a thing? And because and it's also nice to see that she's saying she's feeble and she's unable to do the work with justice. How many of us feel that way? This woman's a prophet. Even though, and here's another one. Somebody, you know, I get this on a regular basis from people saying, oh, well, Ellen White did this, and Ellen White's a prophet, and she did this, and she did that wrong, and she did this wrong. And they claim this, and they claim this. Is okay, first of all, show me in her writings where she's ever said she was a prophet. I don't know that she's ever said it. But even though it does appear as such, does it not? And here she's declaring herself feeble. And it makes me feel better because I'm not a prophet. And it's nice to know that she's down to earth. She's going through the same stuff we got to go through. And it's just like when Jesus walked a mile in our shoes 2,000 years ago. He had to deal with a lot of the garbage that we deal with on a daily basis, okay, tenfold on top of him, because he was really pressured by the enemy of souls to fail, and he wasn't going to, of course, but the devil was really targeting him. We all know that. But it's just so nice to know we're not alone. And people are, you know, doing their best and trying everything they can to do the work for God. And like Ellen White, they're praying for extra help. Please, help, help, help. Yeah, amen, Ace. Hey, prophets are not divine. They're just flesh like the rest of us. Hold on a second here. Hold on, wait. Okay. All right. April 16th. Got to send a PM real quick there. All right. So April 16th. She says, I have written quite a number of pages today. Mary is hard after me. She gets so enthusiastic over some subjects. She brings in the manuscript after she has copied it to read it to me. She showed me today quite a heavy pile of manuscripts she had prepared. And again, now this part I'd like to read about the compilers. Check this out. It says, all work was at this time in handwritten sheets. Typewriters did not come into Ellen White's work until 1883, 2 years after her husband's death. And even then, with the typewriters, they still, when they would make or they would print the newsletter, it was done with movable type. You know, and some people out there can't seem to get a newsletter out once a year. It's because there's no desire in the heart to do the work. Big difference. I'm not saying any of us have that problem. I'm just saying that there's a lot of people out there that can't understand why their ministries are failing and stuff like that, that I've met over the years. And I says, well, what have you done for them? It depends, on what, it's not that the Lord only helps those who help themselves. It's, because that's, he's going to help you regardless if you trust him and love him, because sometimes you don't even know what to do. But the fact of the matter is, you got to at least try. Anyway, she goes on to say that, she says, I am feeling very free and peaceful. I feel the precious love of Christ in my heart. It humbles me in my own sight, while Jesus is exalted before me. Oh, and I got to tell you, that's what I like to call those little hugs. But I don't know how she's getting these or what she's actually talking about or how this is happening with her. But I'd like to think about, like, sometimes when I'm reading the Word and how the Word comes off the page and it's kind of like it's speaking right to you and kind of a thing. And those are nice little gentle hugs and stuff like that. But it'd be really nice. I'd love to be able to just sit down and talk to her or Isaiah. Well, yeah, eventually, yeah, we will be able to do this. What was it like when he was moving your pen, in your hand? Isaiah or Jeremiah or Daniel or Ellen, whoever you talk to. I mean, just odds are you're going to know a little bit more. Well, we will know a little bit more, especially if you're part of the Gideon Band. You'll have a little bit better understanding of certain things. But there's still, there's still some stuff I want to ask these people. Ever since I was a kid, I've been like asking old people all sorts of strange stuff. But anyway, that's just the way the nature of man, though. We're all like that. We all have questions. I mean, how do you learn otherwise? So she says, how I do long for that social and mysterious connection with Jesus that elevates us above the temporal things of life. It is my anxiety to be right with God, to have His Spirit continually witnessing with me that I am indeed a child of God. And then April 18, she says, we went to the city of San Francisco Sunday night. Do you know that 80% of the real estate in San Francisco is owned by the Vatican? Did you know that? And did you also know that San Francisco is the homosexual capital of the world? Put two and two together, you're always going to come up with 666 when you're dealing with this. But that's amazing. Anyway, she says, I spoke to quite a large congregation of outsiders with acceptance, taking up the subject of the loaves and fishes with which Jesus, by his miraculous power, fed about 10,000 people that were continually collecting after the Savior had blessed a small portion of food. Christ walking on the sea, and the Jews requiring a sign that he was the Son of God. The neighbor next to the church near the public garden was there. Craig, I believe his name was. They all listened with wide open eyes and some open mouths. I would feel pleased to meet my brethren and sisters in camp meeting. It is just such a work, just such work as I enjoy, much better than the confinement of writing. But this will break up my work and defeat the plans of getting out my books, for I cannot do both, travel and write. Now seems to be my golden opportunity. Mary is with me, the best copyist I can ever have. another such chance may never be mine. I still don't get what she's saying here. Why is she mentioning Craig and all the other ones there? Oh, yeah, well, maybe she's just more or less getting on the fact that she'd like to be able to talk with them and share rather than do the writing kind of thing. I don't know. So, anyway, she goes on, April 21st. Yeah, that's the day of my very first tornado. She says, I have just completed quite a lengthy article on several miracles. Makes 50 pages. We have prepared about 150 pages since you left. We feel the best of satisfaction in what we have prepared. Okay. And that's all that's there. So, okay, April 24th says, Mary has just been reading to me two articles, one on the loaves and fishes, Christ walking in the water, and stating to his hearers he was the bread of life, which caused some of the disciples to turn from him, and that's, of course, John chapter 6. And did you ever read John chapter 6, verse 66? That's when they decided to leave. It's just amazing how that number came up there. I'm not saying it was purposely put that way, but it's just amazing. John chapter 6, verse 66. Anyway, it says, this takes 50 pages and comprises many subjects. I do think it is the most precious matter I have ever written. Mary is just as enthusiastic over it. She thinks it is of the highest value. I am perfectly satisfied with it. The other article was upon Christ going through the cornfield, plucking the ears of corn and healing the withered hand. 12 pages. If I can, with Mary's help, get out these subjects of such intense interest, I could say, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. These writings are all I can see now. And then she says, my heart and my mind are in this work, and the Lord will sustain me in doing this work. I believe the Lord will give me health. I have asked him, and he will answer my prayer. And I can't help thinking this, too, when the way she's, has the chance to be here and do this work the way she does, because now the timing's perfect and all that. Everything's working out the way it should. I also, when I think about this, I think about getting away and having that 2 or 3 days off or kind of a thing to clear my head and stuff like that, because I know there's this other work I want to do, but I just can't focus. I there's just too much going on. I can't focus to do what I really want to do. And I think this would allow me to have that focus, because, you know, walking along a lake, even if it takes all day, just walking along that lake, just conversing with him all day, just going around, with Fran too, just us two going out there and just being together, and all distractions are gone. And then, wow, that's when, things seem to happen. Thoughts seem to be given, if you will. So she goes, I love the Lord, I love his cause, I love his people. Amen. I feel great peace and calmness of mind. There seems to be nothing to confuse and distract my mind, and with so much hard thinking, my mind could not be perplexed with anything without being overtaxed. Boy, to have that day. All right, April 25th. I cannot merely portion my writing to one half the day, as some of the time my head troubles me, and then I have to rest, lie down, stop thinking, and take my time for writing when I can do so comfortably. I cannot rush business. This work must be done carefully, slowly, and accurately. The subjects we have prepared are all well gotten up. They please me. And just think of the way she's talking here. Think about this. There's some people that are like this. And I remember this when I was a younger man, and I'd had a task, if you will, or even if it was just a hobby. Or just, and one of my hobbies at the time, I think I was a few years married, and one of them was like computer programming. Well, I just loved it, just making code, And because it was like you're inventing something, no one else did make that software, because a lot of the times the software that I needed wasn't in the stores because computers were new, so you had to make your own. And so I used to like doing it, but there were times that it's okay. You think about this, she goes, okay, I have to rest, I have to lie down, I have to stop thinking, take time for my writing, and then I can do so comfortably, I cannot rush business. Well, there were times that I'd like to rest. I'd like to lie down, stop thinking, take my time for writing the code, and then forget about it. 2-3 days later, I'll get to it. You just like, oh, you walk away from it. She isn't even contemplating that. She knows she's going to get up the next day and start working again. But there were days I just put it on the back burner. But now, after being in the ministry for as many years as I have, you can't do that. You just can't put stuff on the back burner. You know, you got to get up the next day. You got to do it. It's like I'm saying. It's like with the updates, for example. Even if I go out and about and gone for 2-3 days, got to do the updates. Got to do it. Because people expect them to be there. Because if you don't do them 3 days later, a lot of things could happen. And, you know, I want to keep abreast of what's going on, too. That's the main reason for the updates. I don't necessarily have to put them on the site. I just like going through the articles and seeing what's happening out there, and it allows me to better warn the brethren, you know, my kids included, because every day when I'm done with my updates, I send all of the articles and the videos or anything that I've done, the distress of the nation or the additional signs in the end or whatever, I put it all in an email, send it all to my kids every day. That actually helps me double spell check too, by the way, because my spell checker, I type so fast, the ding goes off, and I sometimes ignore the ding, and then I misspelled a word. And so before I email it off, that'll double spell check, and then I can fix everything. But you got to do it, except, of course, on Sabbath. I just don't do it on Sabbath. It's really a restful day. All right, April 27th, she says, and maybe we can, I don't know, let me just see how much further we got to go here. I know it says April 27th. Let's see how many days. Or how many pages we got left here? Days, actually. Ooh, there's a big compiler chunk on that next page. Ooh, that's it. Okay, next page is it. And most of it's a big old chunk of compiler stuff. Or compilers. All right, so April 27th. We're almost done. So I think we'll be 5 minutes over. She says, April 27th. I have written 15 pages today. Mary Clough is hard after me. I guess that's the way you say her name, right? Clough. It's kind of like cough, but put an L in there. But Mary Clough is hard after me. She has copied 15 pages today, a good, large day's work. Never had I such an opportunity in my life before. I will improve it. We have written about 200 pages since you left, all copied, ready for printers. Who's she writing this to, by the way? I should have read the compilers. Because she keeps like she's talking to a third person. Anyway, she says, I feel that I am less than nothing, but Jesus is my all. Amen. It's just like the prophet saying, I am undone. Amen. I feel I am less than nothing, but Jesus is my all, my righteousness and my wisdom and my strength. Amen. May 5th. She says, I have been writing more than usual, which was too much for me. I cannot and must not write more than half a day, but I continue to step over the bounds and pay for it. Boy, do I know about that one. And my wife gets on me about this constantly. She likes to throw the guilt. not in a bad way, in other words, because I'm in here 10 to 12 hours a day sometimes. And I shouldn't do that. I should be on doing the work, the updates, you know, 5-6 hours. That's enough. You know, when I'm out and about, I figure out a way to get it done in 2 hours using the laptop and a link into the server. I can get it done in 2 hours. And I should be able to anyway. I tested it already. I did it out in, you know, outside a couple times already. I did it in 2 hours. But I know what she means here about stepping over the bounds. You know, maybe I can do this. I mean, I can do that. I can, you know, do that. And you just you overdo it before you know it. And it's another thing. Get up. If you do a lot of sit-down work, a lot of mind work, get up. You should get up every 15 or 20 minutes. Sometimes I'll sit here for 2 hours like an idiot. I get up and it's like, whoa. Where do those kneecaps come from? It's like you can't move. I guess I'm not a spring chicken anymore. But praise the Lord for the long walks that, you know, me and Fran are back into doing again because the weather's nice. You know, it gets to the, oh, man, the kneecaps. Like you sit there for 2 hours and you don't move like you should be moving. And you get up and it's like, oh, man, you really know your age then. Anyway, she goes on. She says, my mind is on my subjects day and night. Amen to that. She says, I have a strong confidence in prayer. The Lord hears me, and I believe in His salvation. In His strength I trust. In His strength I shall complete my writings. I cling firmly to His hand with unwavering confidence. And she does, obviously. I mean, she had 39 years left of life, and she did definitely write. I mean, the most prolific writer on the planet, but yet try to find her books in Christian bookstores. Hmm? There's a tad bit of obviousness there. You know, there's a reason that they don't want her out there. Anyway, she says, I have important subjects coming in the next paper, which is Signs of the Times, on Jeremiah. Amen. Boy, I tell you, some SDAs need to read Jeremiah, too. Oh, man, do they need to read Jeremiah. They seem to think that because they have the name SDA, just like they thought that they have the name Israel, that they're guaranteed heaven. They need to read what goes down in Jeremiah. Oh, that would hopefully get them to realize they need to get out of there. I mean, the Lord even forced them out. But, you know. Anyway, she says, I have important subjects coming in next paper on Jeremiah. My subject was urged to this by the Spirit of God. The view I had 16 years ago was forcefully impressed on my mind. I saw that important matter was to be seen applicable to the people of God. Amen. Look at that. Again, Jeremiah. Just like today. Boy, that his work certainly does follow him. And boy, did he get all sorts of hassles just for telling the truth. So anyway, she says, this was in reference to testimony God had given me to bear in reproving wrong. And then May 11th, she says, if I get my writings, which of course was the Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 2, it says here. So if I get my writings all in manuscript, my part of the work is done, and I shall be relieved. And then October 19th, she says, we have decided to have the printers go on my book and not transport these books across the plains again. Part of the book is here already printed. We shall not have them stereotyped. Okay, then the compiler says, pages would not be made into printing plates, but left in standing type, allowing changes to be made. So standing type, that's the movable type again. All right, printing plates, I guess, they're already locked down, where if it's just left there, you can slide letters out, slide words out, and stuff like that. Literally, movable type. Have you ever seen those letters that you can punch into items, you know, that's what it looked like, only they didn't have a really long extension on them like they do today. They got little, tiny little things. So anyway, she says, because we shall not wait to have matters of my book so very, very exact, but get out this first edition and get it in market, then we can take time to get out a more perfect edition on Pacific Coast and have it stereotyped. Then your father's and my life will be written and printed in the Pacific printing office, but... So I guess she's sending this to her son. I guess this must be Willie then, huh? But she says, but we have all used our best judgment and think we had better remain here, which is Battle Creek, till December and complete this edition. And then finally, she says, in October 26th, it says, we are in the very worst drive and hurry getting off my Volume 2 of Spirit of Prophecy. Three new forms are already printed. If we remain here, Battle Creek, 4 weeks longer, we shall have the book completed and removed from my mind, a great burden of care. Amen. And we don't need to read the compiler. So I hope and pray that you were blessed. If you can get on your knees, we will close in prayer. Amen and amen. I just noticed it is 5 after, but my clock is wrong, I think. It's supposed to be 3 after. So please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us and giving us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need to do the work you have given us to do. Thank you again for blessing the work and blessing those doing it. Thank you for watering the seeds that have been planted. And again, we lift up everybody that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost, those that are sick. I want to again lift up Brother Craig as he speaks at that ex-Seventh-day Adventist church out there in the Philippines, and give him the words that will cut the hearts and the minds and let them realize that restitution ministries and restoration ministries and all those people that are approaching them are not doing you well. And so thank you for blessing everybody there that's involved there. Let them see your hand in a mighty way. And again, thank you, Father, for the Sabbath and for blessing it in a special way. And we lift this prayer unto you in the name of Jesus, your Son, our King and Savior. Amen.